This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Father, we just come boldly to your throne of grace today, my Father. And we just thank you for the awesome privilege, the awesome honor, and for you pointing unto us the golden scepter of righteousness, as we always say, signifying that we can come boldly into your presence, boldly to your throne of grace, my Father, without any sense of guilt or condemnation, knowing that, Lord, our sins are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, my Father God. And we count it an honor and a privilege that all of that is not because of nothing that we've done, but simply because, well, you love us. You love us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life, Father. And as a result of what he has done for us, Lord, over 2,000 years ago, actually before the foundation of the world, but it was manifested over 2,000 years ago, Lord, because of what he done, because of his death, burial, and resurrection. First his coming, and his death, and his burial, and his resurrection. Because of all of that, Father, we have been made the righteousness of God, and we have been made unto our Father, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth forever and ever and ever and ever. And we count that an honor and a privilege, my Father. So as we come boldly to your throne, we just humble ourselves under your mighty hand, under your Holy Spirit, my Father, and we would just yield ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and ask that he would minister to us, Father, as seem wise unto you, my Father. And we thank you once again. Thank you for your love, Father. Thank you for the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you for the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, Father. Now, Lord, we come boldly to your throne, and we ask, Lord, that you would feed us. Here's our cup, Father. Fill it up, Father. And quench this thirstiness in our soul to know you much more than we do, to serve you much more than we do, to obey you much more than we do, to honor you much more than we do. So here's our cup, Father. We lift it up, Lord. Quench this thirsting in our souls. Bread of heaven, feed us until we want no more. Here's our cup, Father. Fill it up and make us whole. As in always, Father, we'll be careful to give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, out there in radio land, as under the sound of my voice, what an honor and what a privilege it is to be able to come into your homes and your automobile through this radio broadcast and just share with y'all the love of God and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. It's an honor and a privilege, not only to come boldly to the throne of God's grace, but to serve such distinguished men and women, to serve such kings and queens. Like I said, the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 5, that because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, we have been made the righteousness of God. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in Revelation chapter 5, it says this also, and not only have we been made the righteousness of God because of what Jesus had done for us, but also because of what he has done for us, we have been made unto our God kings and priests. Hallelujah. A king, that's a political figure. A priest, that's a spiritual figure. What does a king do? He rule and reign over a territory, over his domain. And everything that he say in his territory and over his domain, everything that he say, that's the law. And that's what's king. So he's a ruler. That's what a king is. A priest is a spiritual figure. You know, he's a representative of God to the people. And then he go to God on behalf of the people. And then he come to the people on behalf of God. So he's a spiritual representative. That's all of us in our priestly garments, all our priestly titles that we partake of, you know, believers, Christians, pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers, whatever priestly garment that we would tie ourselves under, you know, they're just spiritual representatives. And a king is a ruler. Again, I say that's a ruler. That's a political figure. But we rule and reign through applying spiritual principles. So not only are we just priests, but we come into the knowledge of this gospel of the kingdom. And in this gospel of the kingdom, we're not only spiritual figures and spiritual representatives, but we're kings and queens too. We are rulers too. Over people? No. Over territory. What territory is that? The territory that God gave us. The Bible says the highest heavens belong to God, the earth he gave to man. What's our domain? What's our territory over which we have power and control and influence over people? No. What? The earth. That's our domain. And God, and what we do, we to rule and reign over the earth. For what purpose? How, Arthur? By applying spiritual principles. Why we apply the spiritual principles, Arthur? So that it might be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Listen, we've been praying that prayer all our lives, you know, and perhaps have not really understood what we've really been praying. The Bible says get knowledge and get wisdom, but in all you're getting, get an understanding. So, again, you know, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to serve such mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God through this radio broadcast, to serve you from the king's table, you know, that we can all eat from the king's table, you know. The servant's table, that's when you eat from the priestly garments. When you hear what the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers and all the spiritual ties that we fall upon, and when you hear what man say, you know the Bible says in the book of Hebrew, in time past God spoke to us through the prophets. But in this day and time, he's speaking to us himself through his son, Jesus Christ. So it's all right to eat from the servant's table, to hear what the pastor say, to hear what I say, to hear what ministers say. But boy, when you can hear the voice that's behind our words, when you can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you about what we say, then you can be eating not only from the servant's table, but from the king's table. When you can hear, boy, what the Holy Spirit is saying to you about what we say. And that's what my prayer and desire is, you know, that so therefore, You don't put your faith in the wisdom of a man, but you put your faith in the power and the word of the Most High God. How can you do that, Doctor? When you hear from him. So that's what my prayer is, you know, that if you not only hear what I say, but you would hear what the Spirit of the Lord say to you about what I say. But see, listen, I don't have but one message. All I'm going to share with you is the Word of God. I'm not going to give you my opinion about anything, because if I do, then that's all it is, my opinion. But as an ambassador of Christ, and as an ambassador, ambassadors can give you their opinion. Only thing they can do is give you their country views of whatever the circumstance or situation or symptom might be. So when I come on this radio broadcast, I don't have but one message and one word, you know, and that's the Word of God. I just come on here to tell you, man, what thus says the Lord. And listen, not only what thus says the Lord through the mouth of the prophets and the Old Testament writers, but what thus said the Lord, boy, before the foundation of the world, before it was here or there, or when or where, before that was anything. I tell you, boy, God spoke. And when God spoke, I'm talking about this before anybody spoke. This before anybody spoke. God spoke. Hallelujah. And boy, let me tell you something. In the kingdom of God, what the king say goes. And you know the first thing that he spoke about us? I'm not talking about what Jeremiah and Isaiah and none of the prophets said, you know, about what he said. I'm talking about what he said himself. The original word. Not that which was in the beginning that we find in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That's included in it. But the Bible says in 1 John, that which was from the beginning, that which we have seen, which we have handled, of the word of life, which we have touched and heard and seen and handled, that's what we declare unto you. Where the dead boy, that boy I'm talking about in him, there's no darkness at all. In who? In the Word of God. You remember 1 John said this here? Not 1 John. St. John said this. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him, who? The Word was life. Hallelujah. L-I-F-E. And the life that's in the Word, the L-I-F-E, was the light, L-I-G-H-T, of all men. And that light began to shine in darkness. What you mean? Darkness is ignorance, not knowing. What's light? That's illumination. That's knowledge. Where that illumination and knowledge come from? The Word of God. And the Word of God began to shine in the darkness. And the darkness couldn't put it out, couldn't overtake it, couldn't seize it, couldn't do nothing with it. In fact, it put all the darkness out. You know, and they say, and in that word was life, and the life was the light of man. Well, with that, I'm talking about that was from the beginning. Not just in the beginning, but that which was from the beginning. What God said before anybody else said anything. And listen to what God said concerning you and I. He said, this is his first word come out of his mouth concerning mankind. He said this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And it's my favorite scripture in the Bible, my favorite chapter in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and 2, because in those two chapters are the perfect chapters in the Bible where there's no rebellion, there's no sin, there's no death. There's only one thing going on in Genesis 1 and 2. That's God setting up his kingdom, his rule, his reign upon the earth, and him fellowshipping with mankind in the coolest day, walking and talking with them with unbroken fellowship. No sin, no disobedience, none of that going on in there. Can you imagine what kind of life that was that Adam and Eve had in the garden, walking and talking with God, living in the Garden of Eden, man, with unbroken fellowship, no sin in their life, and communing and walking and talking with God through the cool of the day, becoming what God was speaking to their lives. And listen what God was, first thing God spoke to their lives. He said, let's make mankind, that's all of us. Let's make man, that's mankind. Once again, that's all of us. Let's make man just like us, in our image and our likeness. And let them, who, man, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth, over all the earth. Something the Bible says, so God created That's past tense there. First you say that God said, let's create. Then next verse says, and after he said that, then it was done. So God created, past tense, man. In his image, created, past tense, them. Male and female, created, he, them. And boy, this is what I like the most about that. And God blessed them. Hallelujah. God empowered them. God put on the inside of them all the potential that they will ever need to accomplish God's will and God's desire and God's plan and God's purpose for their life. And told them to be fruitful and multiply and make the whole earth just like that Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. And it was so. And boy, he set them on their course toward that destination. Boy. And on their way toward that destination, they got tripped. They failed. They didn't fall from heaven. That's why, you know, we got the wrong concept trying to get to a place where we never fell from. We fell from our kingship. We fell from dominion. We fell from our authority and power and control that God gave us over our territory. We lost our kingship. Hallelujah. He never left us. He never forsook us. He couldn't live in us no more, but we lost our identity, who we really are. We lost our righteousness, our ability to stand in the presence of God without any sense of guilt or condemnation. We lost our territory, well, the earth. We lost, man, our dominion, our sovereignty, our raw power. We lost the Garden of Eden. We lost the presence of the Lord. And most important, man, we lost the divine connection. What's that? The Holy Spirit. We lost all of that in the fall. And boy, I'm talking about everything that God started doing from Genesis chapter 3 all the way through to Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, is a means to one end. And that's to reestablish Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 back up on this earth. What was going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2? God was fellowshipping with his family of sons, mankind, in a place, in the Garden of Eden, in the presence of the Lord. And boy, it was unbroken fellowship. No sin, no nothing. And it was in that place, that Garden of Eden. It was in that place on the earth, just like it is in heaven. And our assignment was to be fruitful. That's productive in every area. Multiply, that's produce a whole lot. In every area, especially children and other mankind and other offsprings of God, and have dominion over everything that comes from this earth. That's what this ministry is all about. That's what this broadcast is all about. That's what we all about. So again, I say, I don't have but one assignment. And that assignment is to come on here and as an ambassador of Christ. I don't represent no denomination. I don't represent a church. I don't represent no religion. I don't represent Christianity, Buddhism. I don't represent, Muhammad. None of the religions, Hinduism, none of that. What you represent? I represent one thing. What's that? I represent the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And I come on this radio broadcast every Saturday to let you know that that kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is available to us. All you got to do is come to the knowledge of it, understand it, and then apply it to your life. Well, receive it. What do you mean? Receive comes from two words. It's a grammatical construct. Seed is an old English word, C-E-I-V-E. It means to have. Receive means to have again. So all we got to do is receive the gospel of the kingdom. What do you mean, Arthur? To receive. Kingdom of God, to have it again. It once was ours in chapter 1 and 2. We lost it in Adam. And boy, I'm talking about God loved that world that he set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. That whosoever would believe in him. And as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. And if sons of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Hey, listen, before I get carried away on here, because I see I'm getting carried away, and that happens all the time. Hey, listen, I have a special guest on with me today, you know, and I have Evangelist Tarsha Clark, you know, from Let's Go High Ministry, under the anointing and the covering of Pastor Lydia Owens, you know, a dynamic, mighty woman of God and a mighty ministry that they are raising up over in the Houston area. That's a tremendous blessing, not only to the body of believers that's a part of that ministry, but raising up a body of believers that's in that ministry that's going to take this gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth. I'm talking about mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. And I have on here with me today a guest with me from that ministry, again, Evangelist Tarsha Clark from Let's Go High Ministry. And we're going to open up the platform and just allow her to share with y'all, you know, what God has placed in our heart. And I know it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you all, you know. Her and Pastor Liddy was on here with me a few weeks ago, and it was such a blessing to the people that we wanted so much to have them back on, you know, and we look forward to them coming on and other people coming on with us more and more. So without any further delay, you know, I'm going to turn it over into under the ministry of Evangelist Clark and just allow her to share with y'all what God has placed in her heart. And I guarantee you, if you incline your ears to hear, it'll be a tremendous blessing to you. Evangelist Clark, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Amen. Yes, we sure can. You know, that's let the Lord use you however you see fit. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. You know, it was, like you said before, it was such a honor being on here last time. He had a little bit of feedback here. It was such an honor being on here last time, a different experience for me for sure. But, you know, when I left the radio broadcast, I was such an illumination in my spirit, just because of what God was pouring out through each and every one of us who even had something to say. So that was a blessing. So I'm honored for the invitation again to be on here today. I count, you know, every opportunity to speak for God to be a blessing and a privilege. So I appreciate that. You know, and to demonstrate how we're just, you know, one body and connected, I was thinking about what I was going to say today, what it is that I wanted to share. And you had touched on it briefly when you started talking about, John and how in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word took on flesh, you know. And I started thinking about earlier this week the importance of the Word of God and the purpose of it in our lives as Christians, as believers. And God just began to deal with me about that, you know, and about the Word of God. And so I began to think about it, and you know, God began to talk to me about how we need to wrap our lives around the Word of God. You know, there are so many in this generation, especially, there are so many voices, so much talk, so much speaking, so many thoughts and ideas that are coming from people who really don't even have the power to deliver such a word or a message or a profound statement to people. But there are so many choices. If you don't like A, then you can go over here to B. And if you don't like how B is set up, then you can go over here to C. You know, but a lot of it is just philosophy of man. You know, and God began to deal with me about how we have to begin to wrap our lives around the Word of God. And what is the Word of God? It's not just Scripture, not just Bible alone, but it's the expression of His thoughts or and His intent towards His creation. You know, and so I remember one of the first messages that I really began to get grasp of under the leadership of Pastor Biddy Owens, who has been a tremendous blessing in my life. She often would say, "Find yourself in the Bible." And I was listening to that, and I was like, okay. And what it really meant was to search the Scriptures out until the Holy Spirit begins to illuminate a passage of it in you. And then it begins to quicken your spirit. And then when you find that, begin to shape your life around that Word. You know, there are certain times where I could read a Scripture over and over again, And I've read it 1,000 times. And it's, you know, this particular day that I've read it, you know, for the 1,001 time, there's a new illumination. There's something that I had not seen before. There's something being awakened and quickened in my spirit that I hadn't come to know before. And that's because I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to illuminate his word in me and in my life. You know, the Bible says that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Bible is not just scriptures for us to memorize and to recite and to seem eloquent, but it's supposed to be the very thing that directs us in the path and the purpose that we're supposed to go in. You know, and so as I began to mirror my life concerning the word of God, everything that seemed to be crooked or going astray began to line up in a way that I did not have the power. And man around me, who even had my best intentions at heart, did not have the power to align me in that right place. You know, and so, you know, I believe that God is recentering us to a place that we're allowing him to speak to us divinely. You know, you touched on it before, Pastor Arthur, that, you know, there are many, many voices, you know, in the world, and they don't have the power to align us. They don't have the power to recenter us. And so, you know, God, I believe, is wanting us, if we could begin to unplug from the things that have caused us to be separate from the will of God, from the presence of God, and begin to plug into him once again, he will begin to give us a path, a way of power that we have not known. You know, and I begin to think about the word of God even more and how it has the ability to keep you in a way that nothing else in this world can keep you. You know, whether you're in the church, out of the church, a new believer, been in the walk for 20 years of your life, you know, no matter where you are in your walk, there are going to be things that you have to go through, challenges that you have to go through, trials and tribulation that you have to go through. You know, and these things are not easy. They're not meant to be easy, but they are meant to show us, first of all, what's in us, and then secondly, what God has placed in us in the form of power. And so when I think about the word of God, I think about how it has had the ability to keep me for over 20 years of my salvation. You know, keep me in ways where I felt like, when I felt like things were too difficult and I felt like giving up, the word kept me, you know, and it didn't keep me with a spirit of murmuring or complaining or grumbling or, you know, I'm going through these things, but I don't have any faith along the way. No, it kept me in peace. It kept me free from sin. It kept me free from oppression and depression. It kept me free from doubt and unbelief. You know, like the word says, it says, you know, David began to say, I have your word stored in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then it began to say in another part of the scripture that the unfolding of his word gives light and imparts understanding to the simple. And so, you know, the word of God is not just the preached message on Sunday. You know, it's not just eloquent speaking of man. It's not just something that we carry around, you know, as far as a Bible is concerned. No, it's everything. It's what's keeping us. It's what's preserving us. It's what's causing us to grow. You know, there's a part of the scripture that says that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. You know, the word of God, when I think about it, it challenges you because it shows you where you're supposed to be, but it also shows you where you are currently. And so when I begin to know and understand that there's a place of abiding that I'm supposed to obtain to, but I'm not there yet, I don't become discouraged in my spirit and say, no, I can never get there. No, what happens in me is, okay, I become challenged in my spirit that, okay, I got to begin to strive to get to a place. The word will cause you to grow in understanding. It will cause you to grow in wisdom. It will cause you to grow in righteousness. And so, you know, I believe that God wants to fill us with his word even the more. And you know, what I often say when I'm speaking is that, you know, it's not about the qualifications of man. It's not about where you grow in God, where you obtain in the spirit. It's not about your resume. It's not about, you know, who you know, your network. It's not about, you know, nepotism. It's not about any of those things. You know, that's what I love about God, is that he's without respect of person. It's whoever would yield, whoever will humble themselves, whoever will lay down their lives, whoever will separate from the things of this world and begin to seek after him, you know, and seeking God causes everything that you're searching for on the outward begin to manifest in your spirit. You know, before we see an outward manifestation of anything, there has to be an inward work. You know, and when we begin to see God and begin to get lost in his word, begin to get lost in his thoughts and what it is that he has designed for us and the purpose, begin to seek out the purpose that he has for my life, that I'm not just a young woman, a young black woman that's living in this world that's just going to obtain some worldly things and then, you know, be a good person and that's going to be the end of my life. No, there's something that is divinely planned for me that was already written before I ever was formed in my mother's womb. And so that is the very thing that I'm striving for today. That is the thing that I'm seeking after, because in all of that is my victory. In all of that is my power to manifest the glory of God so that others around me are not just experiencing the personality of who I am, but they're experiencing the character of God that's living on the inside of me. You know, so like I said before, that, you know, I really do believe that God wants to unplug us from the voices of this world, you know, especially my generation. You know, I'm a young woman, you know, and, you know, I grew up in a generation that where social media started to become a thing. And, you know, you have all of these ways to connect to people. But nobody's giving us the avenue or the recipe or the instructions on how to connect to God. You know, you could get on Facebook and find people that you hadn't talked to in 30 years, you know, and begin to reconnect with them. And that's good. That's fine. But nobody's teaching us how to reconnect with God, you know. And so I think that that's more important than any connection that we can have in the earth, is that we need to become reconnected with God. Like Pastor Arthur began to say about Genesis in the first chapter, you know, when Adam and Eve walked in the cool of the garden, they had a divine connection with God. There was no preacher, you know, giving them a Sunday message. There was no prayer circle, you know, trying to give them a breakthrough. They had an uninterrupted connection with God. You know, that they were able to hear his voice beyond any other voice. But, you know, before the serpent came and spoke to Eve in her ear, there was a connection that they had to the voice of God. You know, and so I believe, and because they had that connection, God gave them power over everything that was in the earth, power over all creation, you know, power over every other power, you know. And so I believe that God wants to reconnect us in that way, that we are so connected to him that we can hear his voice. And in that instance, we'll know what it is that we're supposed to do. In that instance, we'll know where it is that we're supposed to go. You know, and so, you know, I'm always grateful for the opportunity to speak his word, but this word also challenges me. You know, every time I'm able to be a voice or an instrument of his glory is a blessing. But I understand also that growth is imperative for my life, you know. And so as I'm speaking to, you know, to those that are listening to the broadcast, I'm speaking to myself, you know, to wrap myself around the word of God, to wrap my life around the word of God, to wrap my existence around his word so that it can cause me to grow into who it is that I'm supposed to be. And, you know, and like I said, in that is all power. In that is the wisdom that I need to have the answers that I need. You know, there are so many situations in life where we don't have a clue of which way to go. We don't have any direction. We don't know what it is that we're supposed to be doing or who it is that we're supposed to be or you know, why am I here? You know, when we begin to dig into his word, begin to dig into his thoughts concerning our lives, then we'll begin to understand who we are, you know. And when I think about this generation of young people, you know, and I think I said this last time, we're a generation who really don't know who we are. And because we don't know who we are, we're taking on every other identity, you know, every other concept or every other philosophy And it's only leaving us confused, and it's only leaving us unsatisfied. And so what we have to begin to do, I believe, is just to turn off the other voices, come back to God like I know nothing, you know. And then when we begin to do that in a way of humility, God will begin to teach us all things. You know, every single thing that we have need of, he will begin to teach us. And that doesn't mean that our life is going to be perfect from then on. No, but we'll have the power to overcome every challenge. And then not only will we overcome it, but we'll have a word within us to give others the power to overcome, to give others the power of our testimony. That I've been in this thing 20 years and never have I seen the righteous forsaken or a seed beg for bread. Never have I been without anything. If I ever been without anything, it's because I disconnected myself from the will of God. It's because I disconnected myself from the true vine, you know. And so, you know, I think it's a powerful day that we're living in, even though, you know, it may seem chaotic to the world, to, you know, to others, and what's going on in the world may seem like it's out of control. God takes situations like that. You know, he takes situations that seem difficult, that seem like it's chaotic, that it's out of control, that it seems like the enemy is gaining ground and overthrowing the people of God, and you know, that he's ruling and reigning in the kingdoms of this world. But one thing I know about God is that he's sovereign, and that he has the power over every power of this world, and that there is nothing that is out of control. There is nothing that he doesn't know about, you know. And so what he's waiting on is for a people to come into the knowledge of him. You know, he's waiting on a people to begin to seek his face in a new way. You know, we've sought him in days gone by, and we've had moves and manifestations of his glory in days gone by. But there's something, I believe, that's much more and greater that he wants to do. You know, it can't just be church experiences, Sunday morning experiences, you know, or maybe we'll have a revival, or maybe we'll have a Bible study. No, it has to be a manifestation of his glory, a power that has, you know, the ability to draw out those who may never dot the doors of a church, who don't even know how to come to God, who don't even know that God has a plan for their lives. That's what God is raising us up for. You know, the Bible says that the whole world is groaning and rebelling together, waiting on the manifestation of his son. You know, and so it is our responsibility, you know, to mature and become those sons. It's our responsibility to grow into it, all that he's ordained for us to grow into, you know. And so, and then what I love about God, though, is that, and I say this often, that he doesn't give us a commandment without giving us the power to obey it. You know, when you think about the Bible and all of the things that, you know, how we're supposed to line up to it, it seems overwhelming sometimes, but nothing that God has ordained for us to walk in should be overwhelming when we're living in him, when we're abiding in him, when we're, you know, rooted and grounded in him. Everything that he's ordained and caused us to grow into, he's given us the power to accomplish it and achieve it. You know, so all we have to do is begin to unplug from the world and begin to plug up into the power source. And when we begin to do that, you know, there, I believe that there's going to be a manifestation that will be written in the history books of time, you know, of what God wants to do through the lives of his people, you know. So I, like I said before, I count it a privilege and an honor, you know, to be used by God. And I said this, you know, last Sunday when we were in church, you know, sometimes you have to, especially after being in this walk for a while, begin to, you know, go back, you know, roll in your mental Rolodex, you know, your experiences in God. You know, when I think about, you know, my salvation and how God drew me out at a very young age, 18 years old, not really knowing who I was or what it is that God had ordained for me, or not even knowing really who, you know, nothing about the Bible, nothing about church, nothing about any of those things, you know, just having a very worldly experience of life. And God began to interrupt my walk and interrupt my life, and begin to, you know, just tug on my heart in a way that I didn't even know was possible. And, you know, saved me at the age of 18, you know, and now I'm 41, you know, and he's kept me, you know, all of those years, those 23 years of my life, you know, and even before then. And when I begin to think about those things, I think about, you know, the things that caused me to grow in my walk. And this is something that, you know, Pastor Biddy Owens has preached relentlessly about developing a relationship with God, you know, about how we have to begin to know God for ourselves. You know, the Bible says this, that, you know, that, you know, we'll come to a point that no man should have to say to his neighbor, know the Lord, for all should know him from the least to the greatest. You know, and when I begin to think about the things that has caused me to know God in a greater way, you know, it was getting into his word and finding, you know, where it is that I identify with, what it is that, you know, God wanted to illuminate in my spirit, and begin to walk after that, begin to apply that to my life, you know. And then after that, you know, begin to see God in prayer. You know, when I think about having a relationship with someone, whether it's friendship or being married or anything, you know, you don't come to know that person unless you spend time with them. You know, and as you spend more and more time with them, you begin to pick up on their intricacies. You begin to pick up on their character and their personality, and even begin to finish their words, you know, and their sentences before they're finished, because you now know their thoughts and how they operate. And it's the same thing with God. And that as we begin to spend time with him in prayer and then getting in his word, you know, and obeying him and walking after the things that he's given us the power to walk after, then we'll begin to know him in a greater way. And when we begin to know him, then the power that we have need of to overcome the trials and the tribulations that we must need go through to possess the kingdom, you know, we'll have that power within us to do that. And not only will we have the power to overcome for ourselves, but we'll have the power to overcome for all of those that are around us, you know. So, you know, if I leave you with anything, I'll leave, you know, the people with this, is that, you know, press into his word. You know, press into the voice of God. You know, separate yourselves from the things of this world and the things that only seek to distract us. You know, there's no end to entertainment. There's no end to the things that we could fill our day with. You know, there are so many options on our phone. You can spend all day on your phone just scrolling from one thing to the next, you know. But none of those things are going to bring us closer to God. You know, none of those things are going to bring us closer to our purpose either. You know, so as we begin to just, you know, lay those things on the altar. God, I'm giving you my time. You know, even if you have to set it as a goal, God, I'm going to give you 30 minutes of my day, you know, every day of the week. I'm going to set, you know, 12 noon to 1 o'clock for you, and to seek your face and to get into your word and to pray and to lay down my life, you know. And as you begin to do that, God will begin to grow you up in a way, you know, quickly, maturely, that you'll know his voice, you'll know his character, that his character now will become your character. And so that when people see you, they're not no longer just seeing you, but they're seeing the very essence of who God is manifested through your life, you know. So I pray, you know, for everybody under the sound of my voice, that, you know, that something that I said today registered with you. There's something that I said today, you know, just, you know, even if it, you know, it causes a light bulb to go off, or, you know, causes you to pause and think a little bit, then, you know, my purpose will serve, you know. And like I said before, I believe that there's a greater move, you know, and I'm glad to be alive to see it, you know. And I believe that God wants to do something so powerful in the earth, and he's going to do it, and we're the people that he's going to do it through. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter what our background is. It doesn't matter, you know, if we don't have two nickels to rub together, you know, and none of those things matter to God, which is why I love him. You know, none of those things matter to him. Only thing that matters is a yielded heart. Only thing that matters is humility, a broken and a contrite spirit. And when you begin to bring those things to God, God will begin to elevate you and put you in positions of power that you didn't even know was available to you. You know, so I pray that, you know, like I said before, that something, you know, that you heard today was a blessing. And I thank Pastor Arthur for the opportunity to be on the broadcast today. And I thank my pastor, Biddy Owens, just for divinely connecting the two of us together, you know, because he's been a blessing every time he's come to Houston. And I hope that I've been one likewise. So, and I'll turn it back over to Pastor Arthur now. God bless you all.
Amen. Amen. Amen, my sister. You know, always when God's word is under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's going to always be a blessing. And those who have ears to hear, we'll hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church in this hour, you know. And Jesus said this, he said, my sheep hear my voice, you know, and then they not only hear, but they obey, they hearken. Hearken means to hear and obey, you know. So thank you, my sister, for sharing that word with us, you know, today. And we have about 12, 13 minutes left on the broadcast. So if you would just go ahead and take the next maybe more 10 minutes, and then I can close it out at the end, the last 3 minutes. But if you can take the next 10 minutes and just, you know, give us a closing remark, if you feel in your heart to pray for the people, you know, as God leads you, you know, whatever it is, you know, like I said, we have about 10 more minutes, you know, about 12 more minutes. All I need is 10 minutes to close it out at the end, you know, and I just feel, you know, the Lord telling me that to allow you even the rest of the broadcast, if there's anything else in your heart, whether it's prayer or anything that you want to say, left to say, or closing remarks, but just go ahead and continue on in it. So, hey, you know, I turn it back into your hand for the next, you know, 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I guess, you know, if there's, you know, any closing remarks I would have, you know, is that, like I said before, I believe that God wants us to seek him. You know, and not only does he want us to seek him, he commanded us to seek him, to seek his face. And so, you know, it's not so that, you know, seeking God is not so, not that we're in search of some unattainable thing. You know, God said to seek me where I may be found, you know, and so the very purpose of seeking God is to find God, you know, and so I believe that this is an hour that God wants us to seek him in a greater way, to seek his face, to seek his word, to seek his voice, to seek his truth, to seek his power. You know, to seek even his blessings, you know, to seek, you know, who we are, to seek where we're supposed to go. What am I supposed to be doing? You know, even if is this the city that I'm supposed to be about in? And to seek him in that way, to seek him in every area of our lives. You know, we've sought after many things, and they haven't brought us to any place of power, nor has it brought us to any place of peace. You know, but it's God, and everything that we have need of is in God. That's one thing that I've learned, you know, when I found myself frustrated about my state in life, you know, the Spirit reminds me that everything that I have need of is in him. So I have to get out of me and get in him, you know, and as I begin to do that, the answer that I'm looking for comes right away. The peace that I need comes right away. The joy that I need is right there for me, you know. You know, I believe that, you know, it's an hour to get out of us. You know, we've been filled with us. We've been filled too much of our own agenda. You know, what it is we fill in our day with, what it is that we want to do. You know, where do I want to go? What do I want to eat? What do I want to entertain myself with? And we're not even considering what it is that God wants for us. Well, you know, what it is that he wants me to give him today. You know, what it is that, where does he want me to go? You know, and so, you know, my prayer for the people as well as myself is that he would give us a seeking heart, you know, to seek after his way, to seek after his will, you know. And in that, God will bring us into right alignment with him, you know, that the thoughts that he has for us are, you know, that we'll come into alignment with those thoughts. You know, the Bible says that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As far as the heaven is from the earth, my ways are separated from your ways. My thoughts are from your thoughts. But, you know, but the thing about it, the beautiful thing about it, though, is that the thoughts of God are available to us. You know, that bridge between my thoughts and his thoughts is, you know, that is closed when I see God. You know what I'm saying? You know, I love God because he's not so far up in the heavens that he's unattainable. You know, he's not somewhere sitting on the throne and just saying, worship me, worship me, worship me, and you're never going, and that doesn't bring us to anything. You know, everything that he gives us as far as a spiritual practice, you know, it's to bring us to somewhere. You know, it's to develop us to be somebody, you know. And so, you know, I believe there, you know, that, like I said before, you know, God wants us to seek him. He wants us to wrap ourselves, our lives around his word. He wants to realign us with his thoughts. You know what I'm saying? He wants to show us who we are, really. That's what it all boils down to show us who we are, who it is that he's ordained for us to be, his intent and his thoughts and his will for our lives, his promises. that he's given us before the foundation of the earth. That's what he wants us to realign ourselves with. And the thing about God is that his word is immutable, is unchangeable. You know, there's nothing that causes him to change his mind and his thoughts and his word towards us. You know, when God gave a promise to Abraham, the Bible said, because he couldn't swear by any other, he swore by himself, saying, blessing, I will bless you, and then multiply, and I will multiply you. You know, so God doesn't need the agreement of man to bring a thing to pass in our lives. You know, all we have to do is, you know, and I said this on Sunday, you know, all we're doing in our present day is responding to what it is that God has already ordained for us before the foundation of the earth. That's all I'm doing. Today, when I'm sitting on this radio broadcast, I'm just responding to who it is that God has ordained for me to be and who it is he said I was going to be before I ever put on flesh. You know, and so that's what God is doing. Our yes today is a response to what it is he's already ordained for us. You know, and so I pray for everybody under the sound of my voice that God, you will bring your people back into alignment with you, Lord. Those that they're longing for something but don't know how to get to it. Those that feel a discontentment within their spirit but don't know really what it is or why they're discontent. God, I pray that you will begin to deal with the hearts of your people, Lord, and begin to show us what it is that you've ordained for our lives, Father, and then begin to show us who it is that you've ordained for us to be, Lord. I pray, God, that you will begin to give us a speaking heart, Lord God, to unplug from the things of this world and begin to plug up into the things that you have in the heavens, Lord, because it's in the heavenly places, God, that we're going to find our victory, Lord God, that we're going to find everything that we have need of. God, you said that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth, Lord God, and you're speaking constantly to your people, God, and we just have to have ears to hear it, Father. So I just pray, God, for those that are under the sound of my voice, Lord God, that those that are seeking for something but don't have the power, Lord God, to give it, Father, that they would just yield themselves. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to have some big anointing. We don't have to have some big pulpit or some big opportunity. All we have to do is say yes to your will and say yes to your way, God. And you will begin to give us the power that we have need of to become who it is that you've ordained for us to be, Lord. So I thank you, God, for what you're doing in this hour. I thank you for the men of God, the women of God, those that you have on the forefront, those who have been my teachers, Lord. I thank you because we're one body. We're one. It's one spirit, one faith, one anointing, one Holy Ghost. You know, and we're not a separated people. Yeah. We're not, you know, a fragmented people, Lord God. You cause us to be one body, Lord God. So I just thank you, God, for what you're doing, and I thank you, Lord God, for how you're going to, for the move, Lord, even in the Louisiana area, God. I see it in the spirit. Lord, there's a move, God, that you want to do in that area, Lord God. And I pray that you will open the door, the effectual door of ministry, even as Paul began to pray, Lord God, and that you will gather the people, Lord God, so that they may hear what it is that you've ordained for them to hear in this hour, Father. And I just give you praise and glory for all that you've done, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you so much, my sister, you know, for coming on this broadcast with me today and just allowing, you know, the Spirit of the Lord to use you in the way that it did to minister God's word to the body of Christ, you know. And like we said earlier, Jesus said, my word will not return unto me void, but it's going to accomplish that what he sent it to accomplish, you know. And I believe that, you know, the word fell on good ground today, and it will produce in our hearts and our minds and our souls and our spirits, you know, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold, you know, until we all reach the fullness of a stature of Christ, you know, until we all become just like our big brother Jesus Christ, who is the express image of the Father, so that we all might become the express image of the Father, too. I like the way you said that earlier, you know, just expressing what God and already said about us. You know, the way I say it is, we just becoming who we already are, what God has already spoken concerning us. And all we are doing, you know, is continually becoming that, you know, as we do like what you said, you know, seek the Lord. And then as we seek him in getting our priorities in mind by seeking first the kingdom of God. You know, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that we have need of that pertains to life and godliness, whether it's in the natural, whether it's in the spiritual, all those things will be added unto us, you know. And in order to appropriate that in our life is by faith. And faith comes but one way, well, two ways. It's imparted unto us, because the Bible says in Romans, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. But for that faith to be developed and to grow, then we need to hear this word of God, and we need to hear it and hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we continue to hear the word of God about how blessed we are, how anointed we are, how mighty we are, how great not only is our God, but how great we are as well, then our faith and our greatness and in our ability and our anointing and our gifting and our talents and our calling will be developed, and then we'll be that people that the Bible say God is looking to and for the earth, looking for men who he can show himself strong on their behalf, who he can do extra through, you know. And I believe in our day and our generation, my sister, that we are that people that God is raising up again in our generation to go forth into this earth and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom to all the earth, you know. And the Bible says, and when this message is proclaimed, then the end shall come. You know, when, boy, when this good news, man, like what you just got to share with us, what we shared through Let's Go High Ministry and through Kingdom Life Outreach Ministry, you know, what's that? That's the good news about what God is doing. Whenever we say the kingdom of God, if we break it down into simple terms, all we're saying is what God is doing, you know, and his way of doing what he's doing. See, we got our ways, and many are the plans in our hearts, but it's still the purpose of the Lord that's going to prevail, you know. And if we align ourselves in with what he's doing, instead of us trying to get him in on what we're doing, if we cease from our works and we get in on what he's doing, and as we get in on what he's doing and allow him to do what he's doing in and through us, then we will see a great and mighty move of God. We will see a revival sweeping our generation, our earth, our communities, you know, our towns and cities and ministries and everything else, you know. As we do, just like what you said, get our priorities in line, you know, by putting God's word first place in our lives and seeking again first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God again? All the kingdom of God is what God is doing, you know. God's way of doing things, and what he's doing and his way of doing things. And as we make that our priority, then we can begin to experience the kingdom of heaven in our lives. How? By seeking first the kingdom of God, what God is doing, and getting in on what God's doing. And it's in our prayers. In fact, he said this, in your first petition, you know, sometimes we go to God and ask God, you know, for the deeds, houses and land and cars and material things. And God said, your Father knows that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, he said, when you go before God, and Jesus was teaching them how to pray, he said, this is your first petition. What? Father, let your kingdom come, and let your will be done. Where? In our lives here on earth. How? Just like it is in heaven. In other words, instead of going to God and telling God what we want him to do for us, then our first priority is to go to God and say, Lord, what can we do for you? What you need of us, Lord? How can we assist you, Father, in carrying out your purpose and your will and your desire, your plan, your intent for our hearts, you know? And as we continue to do that, and if we continue to lift up God's people and build them up in doing that, then we will see God continually bring us to the place where he's bringing us to. Mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God establishing his covenant in the earth. So I agree with you in everything. I join my faith with your faith. I join my prayers with your prayers. You know, that the eyes of our understanding continuously be enlightened, so that we may continue to know him in a greater way, that we might serve him much more than we do, honor him much more than we do, obey him much more than we do. And I say this to the Let's Go High Ministry and all of you who are under that ministry over there, that you continue to grow in that ministry under the leadership of Pastor Liddy Owens and all the mighty men and women that she have over there assisting her in that ministry, especially you younger people in there, you know. That's a dynamic ministry, and that's a powerful blessing that God has blessed you to be a part of it. So I would say this, that you would begin to grab an even greater interest and a greater desire in knowing just how blessed you are to be under such a covering, such a dedicated, consecrated, and committed people of God, a committed woman of God, you know, a dedicated woman of God. That's a tremendous blessing, not only to all of our lives, but to all of our lives and who our lives will impact and influence. So, hey, listen, you know, those of you in the Houston area, you know, hey, you visit that ministry over there. That's at Let's Go High Ministry. I think it's 7601 West Sam Houston